If you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to continue our series on the manifestation gifts of the Holy Ghost. My subject tonight, the gift of faith, biblical examples. I talked about the gift of faith last week. If you look at your handout there, it says the gift of faith is when without any human effort, God brings to pass a supernatural thing. These are definitions by Dr. Lester Sumrall. And these run true to the course of the gifts of the Spirit. But tonight I'm going to talk about this gift of faith and biblical examples. And I hope that by the time you finish this study, you will have a brand new Bible. That you will see that as the early church, as they walked and as they lived their lives, they were operating in the supernatural gifts of the Spirit. We just read the scriptures and we miss this stuff. But I hope after this study you'll be able to see clearly what was happening in the early church. Now, as I've said, the baptism in the Holy Ghost with the initial evidence of speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, that is the gateway into the gifts. These are called manifestation gifts that we're going to study in 1 Corinthians 12 because they function in the emergence of life. And they're manifest as the Holy Ghost manifests them. So to get one of these gifts operating, you need to have a problem. They're supernatural. They're the supernatural surprises of the Spirit, of the Holy Ghost. They're exciting and they're dynamic. Like Brother Bud, that was a word of wisdom that was given to him by the Holy Ghost. She's going to be all right. He didn't have to want to fear, tried to grip his heart. He said, what have I got to fear? We need a way. Hallelujah. So his faith was able to function and to operate. Now, these gifts are exciting. They're dynamic and they're supernatural. And none of them are natural. And by that, I mean they do not operate because of some natural ability that a person has. You can be a very well-educated man, and the gifts can operate through you. You can be a person with hardly any education, but filled with the Holy Ghost, and the gifts can operate through you. God is no respecter of person. And these gifts, they operate through whomever God chooses to operate them. But ignorance, God can't bless ignorance. So we need to learn. And God, as we learn the word, as we study, the Holy Ghost begins to reveal more and more to us. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 12 and 1. This is what really sparked this in my heart. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now, I was talking to a pastor today, and I told him, I said, that one scripture just turned something on inside of me. He said, oh, my Lord, brother, we are so ignorant concerning the gifts. And he knows that. You know, we are called the International Pentecostal Holiness Church. Yet most of us today are ignorant concerning these gifts. They're not taught. And that's why we're ignorant. Amen. Now, so these gifts, they're given for mankind. Look at 1 Corinthians 12 and 7. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. That means that the gifts are given for the common good or for the benefit of everybody in the body. And some people outside the body, these gifts will operate and show God's power to the sinner. Hallelujah. Now, from verse 8 through 10, these manifestation gifts are listed. I go over these each time because I want you to realize one thing. They are not natural. They are all supernatural. 1 Corinthians 12 and 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, by the same Spirit, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. It's just repeated over and over. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. Look at this, verse 11. But all of these work at that one and the self-same Spirit, the same Spirit. He divides to every man severally as he wills. So you can't have all of these that you have a heart for if God chooses to manifest them through you. Get your heart big for God. Get filled with the Holy Ghost, and you will be a candidate for all these to function. Verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. That blew my mind, and today I meditated on it, and I'll share with you what it means, that the body, we are all one by one Spirit. We're baptized into Christ. We are the body of Christ. But guess what? So also is Christ. Now, I've been talking about unity. So Christ is one with who? The Father and the Son. That's unity in the Godhead. So Christ is the head of the church. So if he's the head of the church, and he is, then he is one with you and me. So the unity, faith, and what was the other key? What? Love. There you go. See, somebody's been listening to me. Hallelujah. Those are the three keys that cause the three hinges that the gifts of the Spirit function on. And they won't function any other way. So tonight I want to talk about some biblical examples of this gift of faith. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for manifesting your glory in our presence. And we praise you that the gifts are active in our midst. And Lord, we want to know more. We don't want to be ignorant. We want to grow. And we want to demonstrate these gifts to the world because, Lord, you want people to see your power and your glory. All the promises of God in him are yes. And when we say amen to those promises, then we bring glory to the Father because of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. Now, look at your hand at the gift of faith is when without any human effort, you didn't do anything. God brings to pass a supernatural thing. God does it and not man. This gift is one of the power gifts. Now, if you look on your hand out there, there are three power gifts. One of those is the gift of faith. That's the gifts of healing and the gifts of working of miracles. And this gift of faith is when God does something for you, you do nothing at all. You just enjoy the benefits of what God has done for you. And we'll see that. This is the power of when God does something for you, that is the power of this gift functioning on your behalf. Hallelujah. And the working of miracles is just the opposite. Look at your hand out. The working of miracles is when God does something through you, through your hands, through your mind, and through your person. Now, in the working of miracles, God supernaturally permits you to do something that you could not normally do. Now, when the gift of faith functions, there is no sense of fear in you. So let me go back. The gift of faith is when God does something for you. The working of miracles is when God does something through you. I'm going to show you some biblical examples. But you need to know or have an idea about how these gifts function. Now, faith is of God and fear is of the devil. So when the gift of faith is functioning, there is no sense of fear in you. Because if there's any fear in you, it cannot function. It just cannot. Now, if you would put Isaiah, it's not in the notes, not in the handout, Isaiah 41:10 up there, please. I want you to see this. Because this is a verse that God gave to me. And from the moment that God gave me this verse, I've never been afraid of anything. You've heard me say it. If I thought the devil was behind the door, I'd kick it down just to see if he was there. Isaiah 41:10. I want you to get this. Fear thou not. This is a word for you. For I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Yea, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will uphold thee. Yea, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, the right hand of God's righteousness is Jesus. When God spoke that to me, I did not realize all of that. I'm brand new. But fear tried to grip my heart. And God spoke to me, says, fear not. I can remember going and preaching behind great preachers when I was a young Christian. And preachers would say, aren't you afraid to preach? That man can really preach. I said, he's got his gifts and I've got mine. I said, and God will operate through me what he wants to operate through me. I had no fear about it. I mean, I would be apprehensive at times, but not really. Now, I want you to look at this. I said, faith is of God and fear is the devil. It's just that simple. Now, look at, I believe it's Psalms 56:13. David, this great warrior. Now, fear will try to grip anybody's heart. David was a man's man. He was a great fighter. And look at Isaiah. It's 56:13, brother, I believe. Psalms 56:13. I missed it. I'll just quote it for you. That has delivered me. Go back one and see. I'll quote it to you. David said, what time I'm afraid, then will I trust in God. So here's a man that fear tries to grip him. And David says, when fear tries to overcome me, I will trust in God. And so as you walk your walk of faith, you're going to have fear try to grip your heart at times. But God says, fear not, for I'm with you. Amen. So I'll tell you something else, too, that if there's any dimension in your life where there's fear, faith cannot operate in that dimension. Faith cannot operate where there's fear. So if you don't get this thing out of your heart, there are all types of phobias and fears. Some people are afraid of some of the most foolish stuff. If I thought I was afraid, I'd make myself do it. Yeah, Teresa, she didn't want to get in a little thing, and I said, get in there. We're going to do it. It's a little bitty cabinet. She said, I get claustrophobic. I said, we're going anyway. Hallelujah. And she's not afraid. See, fear tried to grip her. I just will not have that. Yeah, there are people that are afraid of some of the most foolish things. Fear is of the devil, and you better believe it. Faith is of God, and the two cannot function together. So I wouldn't get up and say I'm afraid. No, let me show you something. 2 Timothy 1:7. This is what the Bible says. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. You cannot have a sound mind if you're afraid. I'll tell you that. The devil will start with that, and he'll put all types of phobias on you. And the next thing you know, you'll be shaking and you'll be trembling all over. So get fear out of your heart. The gift of faith can function, and we covered this, in the area of divine protection and in the area of divine provision. This is a dynamic gift. God does something for you. This gift is unlimited because God is the source of its energy. It's not natural. It is God doing something for you. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Unlimited gift. It's unlimited because God is the door. God is the way, not man. He says, follow me, I'll make you. Hallelujah. This gift deals with us being more than conquerors. In other words, a conqueror meets a person of equal strength, and they knock them out. 15 rounds, you've seen the boxing matches, and the conqueror knocks the other guy out. But more than a conqueror, you just stand there, and you say, fall down, and the person falls. What did God say? God says, fear thou not, I'm with you. He said, stand and see the salvation of the Lord. And when you get a word from God like that and you start operating in this dimension, people will not understand you. I'm going to tell you something. If you operate in the gifts of the Spirit, you will be a misunderstood individual. So get used to it. Amen. But I had rather be misunderstood by man and have the power of God in my life. Hallelujah. And please God and not please man. Paul said, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. So this gift functions and makes us more than a conqueror because we do nothing. God just does it for us. We have this tremendous force surging through our spirit, our human spirit, and it's called faith because we have fed our faith the word of God, and we have starved our doubts to death. I like old Lester. Lester said, feed your faith, starve your doubts to death. Let your doubts die in Jesus' name. And can I get a good amen to that? Hallelujah. See, you have the anointing, and you have the power of God. And when you're flowing in faith, you just speak it, and God does it. God does the fighting, and you do the rejoicing. Hallelujah. That's being more than a conqueror. Amen. Now, I want to look at some biblical examples of this wonderful gift because as we look at the Bible, you will see these gifts were functioning. And Moses, according to the word of God, he told Aaron, his brother, he said, cast your rod at the feet of Pharaoh. Pharaoh was the king of Egypt. And when Moses threw his rod down, suddenly it turned into a snake. And the king called in his magicians, and when they threw their staff down, guess what? They became a serpent also. And Aaron's serpent, it devoured the others. Aaron reached down, picked up the serpent by the tail, and became a piece of wood again. Hallelujah. That was the functioning of God's sovereign power on behalf of Moses and Aaron. They didn't do anything. God just did it all. They just operated according to what God had said. They did the observing, and God did the doing. Hallelujah. That was the gift of faith, where God does something for you. God did something for Moses because he had called Moses to lead these people out, and he wanted Moses to know that rod, it represents my word. And what I've told you I'll do, I will do. Can you imagine the tremendous surge of faith that must have entered that man's heart when he starts leading 3 million people out of Egyptian bondage? Now, he's going to have to operate in faith all through this journey. Hallelujah. Now, remember the gift of faith. God does something for you. Where the gift of miracles, God does it through you. So the gift of faith is beautifully shown in the life of Elijah. Let's look at this man. In 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah, he was in the wilderness. He had nothing to eat. And the Lord caused ravens to bring meat and bread to Elijah. Elijah did nothing. His meal, it was just sent there by God. He didn't labor. He didn't do anything to get it. He just said, Lord, I thank you for supplying my need. And the birds, they brought the food to him. Amen. Is that what your Bible says? That was the gift of faith. The ravens and the buzzards, they brought the food. The miracle was that these birds, these vultures, they didn't eat the food themselves. Hallelujah. That's amazing how these gifts function. Now, that was only one person that I know of that had food, and that was Ahab. He had food. He had meat. It was a famine going on. So I guess the birds just flew in there where his table was, that filet mignon line there, picked it up and carried it to him. You can process that. That's not what the Bible says. Hallelujah. But the meat had to come from somewhere. Hallelujah. The Bible says that they brought him his meat, his food, and his bread every morning and every evening. God just took care of the servant of the Lord. That was the gift of faith. God did it all for Elijah. Not only did God supply him food and drink on this occasion, but when he moved him to Zarephath, how about that? He supplied his need through a widow woman. Now, these are stories in your Bible. When Elijah got to Zarephath, that woman there, she was dying. She said, all I have is a handful of meal, a handful of oil. When my son and I'm going to make a little cake. When we eat this, we're going to die. And the prophet said, give me a small cake first. Hallelujah. You know, and let me just say this. You know, the first fruits belong to God. And when you pay your tithe last, guess what? You're going to get the last treatment from God. When you pay your tithe first, then you're going to get first-class treatment from God. And you better believe that if you want first-class treatment. See, your faith cannot function when you're robbing God. If our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart, knoweth all things. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God, and whatsoever asked, we receive it of him. Why? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So if you're going to function in this gift, the gift of faith, if it's going to function in your life, you will find that obedience is tied real close to it, because faith cannot function where there's disobedience, and faith cannot function where there is ignorance, and faith cannot function where there is fear and disobedience. Amen? Now, the prophet said, give me a small cake first. And she said, all right, I'll do that. And through the faith of this man, Elijah, for about 3 years of famine, her can of oil, it had oil in it. Her bag of flour, it had flour in it. And every time she went to cook, it was there supernaturally. I can imagine her saying to Elijah, is there any more there? And he would say, you better believe it. She would say, well, I used it all up this morning. And he would say, just go look. There's plenty more there where that came from. Hallelujah. Here was a man commanding, doing nothing. He wasn't working. He was just commanding it. And it was showing up supernaturally. He was planting no seed. He was harvesting no crop. He was just commanding. And it worked, because God was doing it for him. Hallelujah. That's what we call the gift of faith. And it functions on the behalf of believers. It's a powerful gift. Hallelujah. Now, Elijah was a great prophet, and then there was Elisha. And Elisha was the young plowboy that had the audacity to say, I want a double portion of that spirit that's on you. He had a big heart for God. And when Elijah was going up in the whirlwind, he said, quick, drop the mantle. And he dropped the mantle, and he received the double portion anointing. And there was a school called the School of the Prophets. He started a School of the Prophets. Wonder what happened to all those prophets. Wonder why their stories aren't in the Bible. We got this man that dropped the mantle, and another one got a double portion anointing. But what about all those others? You know, we're to carry this thing on. We're to pass it on. Things like that, you know, my mind sort of works like that. Now, Elisha, he had the Bible school of students, and one day they were cutting down some trees. They needed a bigger school. He's got all these prophets coming, so they got to work. There's work in everything you will ever do. When you work, guess what? God works. And God doesn't work if you don't work or use your faith or do something. Amen. Well, one of his students, he was cutting down a tree, hit a tree, and the axe head flew off the handle, and it, like some people's temper, it flew off the handle, and it landed in the water. Y'all didn't get that one, did you? Don't y'all ever have anybody do you like that? You know, it will teach you something called humility and long-suffering, called fruit of the Spirit. But when he hit that tree, the axe head flew off, it landed in the water, and he cried, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." And this man of God, he said, "Where did it fall?" And he showed him the place. And Elisha cut down a stick. Now, he threw it. What will a stick do? He threw it in the water. Well, it depends on whose hand it's in. What did it do in Moses' hand? What did that staff do? Amen. What did it do here in Elisha's hand? He threw it in the water. The axe head, it floated to the top of the water, and it did swim, the Bible says. Elisha was functioning in this gift of faith. And it illustrates the power of that gift. I mean, it's impossible for an axe head to float to the top of the water, but it's not impossible when God does it for you. It's a dynamic gift. Hallelujah. Now, I want to share this with you because seven of the nine manifestation gifts, they function in the Old Testament. There are only two gifts that are new, that are in the New Testament. They're the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation of tongues. I've heard preachers preach and say, tongues are the lesser gift. Well, I don't hardly think so. It's the gateway into the supernatural gifts of the Spirit. And tongues with interpretation is equivalent to prophecy. And they're like links in a chain, and they all flow together. You can't say which is the most important link in this chain. They're all important. Wouldn't be a chain if they weren't important. You can't say what's the most important gift in the body of Christ. We're all important. Hallelujah. It wouldn't be a body if a member's missing, would it? It wouldn't function right, I can promise you that. So God shows the power of diversity of the gifts, and then he shows the power of unity as the body flows together and people find their function in the body. Now, seven of the nine manifestation gifts, they function in the Old Testament. But they did not function in the same way that they function today. If you read your Bible, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon people. Came upon Samson, didn't it? He walked off with the gates of Gaza. That's the difference today now. In the New Testament, the Spirit comes inside of people. So he comes to reside forever. Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will abide with you forever. He doesn't come on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night. He comes to abide forever. Hallelujah. And if you walk and seek God, guess what? He'll function through you because he doesn't have to come upon you. He's in you. But I will have to say this. He does come upon me at times. And when you're full of the Holy Ghost, you will sense the Spirit coming. And I sense him in this way. When the gifts are going to function, I feel something come over me. I know he's already in me, but I feel a surge, a supercharge of the Holy Ghost energy. Hallelujah. So in the Old Testament, the Spirit came upon men. In the New Testament, he abides in men. Now, Daniel was a remarkable man of faith. He must have gotten that faith from walking so close to God and reading the book of Moses. He didn't have a whole lot to read other than that. Hallelujah. Daniel was a man of prayer, and he was brought to Babylon as a prisoner of war. He was a handsome man. He was very smart. He was clever, and he rose to the top. But he didn't get there by being lazy. He got there by working and studying and doing things. Daniel had remarkable wisdom, but that wisdom came from God. He had a source of information that the Babylonians, they knew nothing about. Daniel, his blessings came from God, and he prayed. He prayed every day at noon. He would just go throw the windows open and start praying to his God. Amen? That's what the Bible says. And when he prayed, he'd open those windows, and he would just bellow out his prayers, Jehovah, you're the great God. You're the God that created all things. And oh, we're here in captivity. And Jehovah, we just need your help. We need your knowledge. We need your wisdom. And he would just pray to his God. But the Babylonians, they tricked the king, and they got a law passed that you could not pray to anyone but the king. So they were going to make a little god out of their king. And they made that king a god, and because they hated Daniel. It wasn't because they loved the king. It's because they just hated Daniel so much. You know, we got people there, and they say all kind of things about our president, Donald Trump. Let me get in politics a little while. Donald Trump, a man put there by God. Everything they accuse that man of, the Democrats have already done it. I'm on Facebook Live. And if you don't like this kind of preaching, you know, if it turns your feathers the wrong way, you need to turn around. Hallelujah. You know, the old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be. I'm just telling you, the Democrat Party, my wife's over there batting her eyes, you know. But, you know, not many preachers will stand up and say this. Why are we afraid to preach the truth from our pulpits? Where are the Jeremiahs and the prophets of today? Why don't they stand? He got off on Brother Ricky Nims the other night. I heard him say something bold. Go back and listen to his sermon. He didn't. I wanted. Does he know where that's coming from? Right straight from the Holy Ghost. Got anointed to talk some politics from the pulpit. Glory to God. Well, see, this thing has been as old as the ages, and it's still going on. But God put a man, a modern day Cyrus, there. Look at what that man has done. Dear God, you know, Jerusalem, the capital now of Israel, the Golan Heights, he said, they belong to Israel. Praise God. The man said, the Johnson Amendment, it has been repealed. You can stand in your pulpit, Pastor Jerry Nelson, and you can preach about politics without fear. Guess what? I've always done that. I've never been afraid. Somebody wrote me an email one year and said, if you don't take that off your marquee, said, we'll send you to Raleigh. I told him, send it back. And when got me four more posters and put them out there. My wife said, Jerry, calm down a little bit. I put them out there in the yard, and I called my bishop. I said, does that bother you, what I got on that marquee as I was staying? He said, if you're willing to take the heat, leave it out there. We were moving to this new church, and guess what? I left it on the marquee when we moved. That woman tried that with somebody else. She was an atheist. And guess what? They shut her down. And we still preaching the gospel. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. Daniel knew about the law, but he loved God, and he wasn't about to stop praying. So he opened the windows, and he prayed, oh, Jehovah, you're great, you're wonderful, and you made the heavens and the earth. And when those Babylonians heard him praying, they went and told the king. He said, didn't you pass a law, king? He said, yes, I did. You said that nobody could worship any other god? He said, yes, I passed that law. And if they don't, then they get thrown in the lion's den. He said, yes, that's what happened. Well, we caught him. We caught him. We caught who? Daniel. And the king was very sad because he had no choice but to condemn Daniel to the lion's den. But the king, he must have had faith in Daniel's faith. He had faith in the God of Daniel. He did, because look at Daniel 6:16. Look at the last part of that verse. The king goes to the pit that way. He's in the den of lions. He said, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver you. Glory to God. I mean, this is that heathen king saying, you serve the God of gods, and your God will deliver you. Woo! I mean, that's faith working. Hallelujah. And they put Daniel into that den of hungry lions. But the next morning, the king, he came back and he cried, Daniel, are you still down there? And Daniel said, yes, I'm here. I'm here and I'm ready to go to work, king. Hallelujah. Now, he was a man so full of God that when they threw him in that den of lions, that by faith he mastered that entire situation. He didn't hurt the lions. He just simply radiated in a force called faith that caused the lions to lie down. And Daniel personally did nothing. It was God who performed that amazing miracle. It's like when those dogs came after me. I told you about I was hunting. And I could have shot that dog, but I didn't. I just stood there. And when I got in the woods, I said, God, I'm sorry. I forgot to call on the name of Jesus. And God spoke to me. He said, my hand is upon you. Wow, I can't tell you what that did for me. That God, the same God that protected Daniel in that den of lions, he protected me from those two vicious dogs. How many times has he protected us in the journeys of life? Yet we've not noticed these gifts function. See, Daniel did nothing. Look what the king told the king. Look at Daniel 6:22. What Daniel is talking to the king. Daniel 6:22. Daniel said, my God has sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me. Wow. Now, that's powerful. That's where God did something for him. Now, what if they had put Samson in that same lion's den or den of lions? Then a different gift of the Spirit would have functioned. Samson would have torn those lions to pieces with his bare hands. It would have been the same God who performed both of these feats. But God had a servant named Daniel, and God had a servant named Samson. And they both operated in the gifts of the Spirit, but their gifts were different. I have some people that they say things about pastors. No, maybe his gift is just different from yours. Maybe they're just functioning different, and they're sent to do something different. So we need to accept one another, embrace one another in the body of Christ. And you can have your favorites. I got my favorites, hallelujah, but I accept all my brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen? So Daniel operated in the gift of faith, where God did something for him. He operated in faith, and God locked the jaws of those lions. Now, Samson, he operated through the gift of miracles, where God did something through him. Hallelujah. So he would have just, you know, gone to work just like he took the gates of Gaza and walked off with it. He did kill a lion. Hallelujah. So he would have done it with his bare hands just like he did back there on that road. So remember this, the gift of faith has no sense of fear about it. You got to keep that in mind. Faith cannot operate where there's fear. It has no feelings of apprehension. It has no feelings of uncertainty. You just know that you know that you know, and you're sure that you're sure because, you know, God spoke it to you. See, it cannot have any apprehension. If it did, it wouldn't function because faith can only function in confidence and peace. Let me say that again. Faith can only function in confidence and in peace. Put Ephesians 3 and 20 up there, please, because I've had this gift operate at times, and I've told my wife, I said, I have it. I have it. I said, you don't see it, but I have it. I said, I have it by faith. And when God gives you that type of supernatural faith, there is no fear. There's no apprehension. Now, it may be tried and tested at times, but you say, oh, no, I have it. Hallelujah. And we've been through that. Ephesians 3 and 20. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ever ask or think. And here's the key. According to the power that worketh in you. And faith cannot work in you where there is fear and apprehension. I like what Brother Bud said. He said, well, whether we live or whether we die, I think the Apostle Paul, I know he did. Whether we live or whether we die, well, we're the Lord's. That's just the way it works. Hallelujah. And there's no fear in an atmosphere like that. Hallelujah. They said, Paul, we're going to cut your head off. He said, that's all right. What can you do to a person like that? Nothing, because their lives are hid with Christ in God. Hallelujah. Now, I think that's wonderful. Look at the three Hebrews boys. Now, they were put in the fire furnace. Y'all all know the story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused to bow down to the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar. And when Nebuchadnezzar heard this, he got angry, and they placed them in the furnace that he had heated up seven times hotter than normal. And when they were cast into the furnace, they began to walk around. And Nebuchadnezzar looked in, and he was shocked. And he said, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of that furnace? His men answered and said, oh, yes, O king. And he answered, look at Daniel 3:25. This is what the king said. Nebuchadnezzar, he said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. That was Jesus walking around in the midst of them. You may not see him, but I want to promise you this. He camps round about those that fear him. He walks among the golden candlesticks of his church. When you come to Westmoreland, the presence of God is here. You can be sitting there and Jesus walk right down the aisle and touch you. And you get a $1 million miracle. Nobody has to lay their hand upon you. When you get the presence of God, supernatural miracles and signs and wonders start showing up. God gave us one word, restoration. He gave me a word this year, expectation. He told me, tell the people to expect their miracle. I've got to expect mine. You've got to expect yours. But if you'll come to church with an attitude like that, I'm going to the house of God. I'm sick and tired of this thing trying to attach itself to my body. I'm going to shake it off. Hallelujah. I'll shake it off in the fire of the Holy Ghost, and I'll walk on into what God has purposed and planned for my life. Go on, praise God. You can have it, praise God. The gifts will function. But you got to rise up in faith. Amen. Now, when they came out of that furnace, that was not a hair singed on the head of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They did not even have the smell of smoke upon them. Now, that was the dynamic gift of faith functioning. These men had no way to deliver themselves from this fiery furnace, yet they walked out of it without doing anything. God did it all for them. They just walked out of it. That was the functioning of the gift of faith. And they walked out of the fire simply because they believed. You can walk out of your fiery trial simply by believing. That is the dynamics of this gift called the gift of faith. Now, if those men had not believed, they would have died. If they had been fearful, guess what? They would have died. That story wouldn't be in the Bible. But because of the gift of faith, God supernaturally did something for them. Now, Jesus, he operated in the gifts of the Spirit. You say, well, Jesus was the Son of God, but he was. But Jesus was also the Son of Man. Put Acts 10:38 up there, if you would, because we want to take a shortcut and say, well, Jesus was God. Well, I will tell you something special about him. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. But he did not have an Adamic nature that we were born with, because he was born of the Virgin Mary, and God supernaturally put the seed. That's why he is the Son of God. But he's the Son of Man because he got his human nature from Mary. So here is a man called Jesus. And the Bible tells us in Acts 10:38 how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Didn't say Jesus Christ, same one. But Jesus of Nazareth, the man, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, let's look at what Jesus did. Mark 4:37. Look at this. Mark 4:37. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship. Now, he was a man. He's in the hinder part of the ship. Why is Jesus in this ship? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Jesus was tired. He was weary. He needed some rest in his body. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awaked him and said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And look at verse 39. He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Jesus spoke one word, peace. And the disciples, they were amazed and said, they didn't say, what manner of God is this? They said, what manner of man is this that is so full of faith that he could just speak to a storm and just lie down and obey his voice? Hallelujah. This was the force of the gift of faith. No human force was used. God just did it through his mighty power. This was the gift of faith. Jesus believed, and God calmed the sea. Just that simple. Now, let's go look at Paul and Silas. They had been beaten and cast into prison. They had irons on their hands and irons on their feet. Look at Acts 16:25. Now, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Their feet were in stocks. Their hands were in stocks. Their backs were bleeding. It was midnight, and they prayed and sang praises unto God. They were in a big mess, but they sang praises unto God. I can just hear them now. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of mine enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than my unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven's armies fight for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That song hadn't been written, but look what they did. They raised a hallelujah in the midnight hour, praise God. And they sang, and an earthquake came, and the prison began to shake, and the door shook off the hinges, and the stocks fell off of their hands and their feet. And the Philippian jailer came, and he fell on his knees, and he wanted to know, how could he get saved? Said, what must I do to be saved, sir? And the whole family, the jailhouse, and the whole family of the jailer, they all got saved because the functioning of the gift of faith through these men that were in prison with their backs bleeding. What are we going to do, Paul? Silas said. Paul said, we're going to sing a melody. My melody is a weapon. I told you there's power in a song. There's a weapon called a song, and God gave us a song. And if you will sing your song in the midnight hour, I promise you the chains will fall off. I learned that years ago. Hallelujah. The power of praise. Amen. That's something. Paul and Silas, they sang, and God supernaturally delivered them. Hallelujah. I just want to give you this last example right here. This is when Peter, he's sleeping. He's in the jail. Look at Acts 12:6. When Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Now he's in prison, bound with two chains, and the keeper of the door that kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. A light shined into the prison. He smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And look at this. And his chains fell off his hands. The church is in a storm, but the gifts of the Spirit, they're in operation. And the angel of the Lord, he woke Peter up and told him, we're getting out of here. Now, Peter thought he was having a dream, but he got up and he followed the angel. They came past the first guard, the second guard, and then they got to the iron gate, and the gate opened of itself. God opened the gate. He didn't open the gate. God did it for him. It opened of his own accord. Look at Acts 12:10. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened unto them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. This was the gift of the word of wisdom. When did that function? Well, let me show you, because the gifts are like links in a chain. This was the gift of faith that brought him out, but it was operating because of the gift of a word of wisdom. Look at this. Here it is. Jesus told Peter, John 21:18. Look at this. This is powerful. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when you were young, you went where you wanted. You girded yourself. You dressed yourself. You walked wherever you would. In other words, wherever you wanted to go, you went. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall lead you and carry you where you don't want to go. This spake he, signifying what death should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Now, faith cannot function when fear is present. Now, the church prayed, okay? And Peter, he might have been staggering on unbelief. I've got this word of wisdom from God about my future. I'm in prison, but they can't kill me because I'm not old yet. And so the church prayed, and they're praying together. Do you want to know how important you are to the body of Christ and how important your prayers are? Maybe there's someone that God has given them a word, and they're in the storm of their life, and the whole church was in a storm. These people, when they got to the door, Rhoda, she told them, Peter's at the gate. Peter's at the door. They wouldn't even believe it. But guess what? Peter had a word from God. His faith never staggered. That angel showed up. He was just so sure that God would bring him out. He just went to sleep. That was the gift of faith functioning through Peter. But maybe he would have staggered. Maybe he would have wavered. But somebody prayed for Peter. They probably thought, well, our prayers haven't done anything. But they did, because this word he had from God. He stood on the word of God, and God brought him out. Hallelujah. I'm going to show you something that the Lord dropped in my spirit. If you put 1 Corinthians 12 and 12 up, this came to me today. I was traveling, and I was rehearsing my notes. I do that a lot. I just like to talk to God. Look at this right here. This will blow your mind. For as the body is one and hath many members, so are all the members of that one body, being many, are one, so also is Christ. I shared part of this earlier, but I'm asking God, what does this mean? The body is one. We are one body. Now, so also is Christ. Well, if we're one with the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost. Christ is one with the Holy Ghost and one with the Father. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost. These three are one. That's why we're Trinitarians. But the body is one. So I cannot say that the mouth is any more important than a little finger. And I cannot say that the ear is not important because of the foot. I have to say we all have to function together. But as the body is one, so also is Christ. That means he is one with us. We are one with him. He is the head, and we're the body. And so we have to walk in the Spirit of God if we're going to function in the things and the gifts of God. Faith cannot not operate where there's fear. So we are one. I am one with you, and you are one with me. Your gifts may differ from my gifts. Pastor Ricky's gifts, they do differ from my gifts. I can't play a piano like he does. Wish I could, but I can't, you know. He has a pastoral-type ministry. Mine goes in, who knows where my mind go? I don't know sometimes myself. But, you know, all the gifts and all the parts of the body, they're important. But the key is faith, unity, and love. And we'll come together, Pastor Ricky, and if we will flow in love, and if we will flow in faith, guess what? The gifts of the Spirit will function, and the head of the church, who is one with us, hallelujah, he has made us one, he will show up, and through the body that is one, functioning unity, faith, and love, he will do what he has chosen to do through the manifestation gifts of the Holy Ghost. And I promise you, I didn't get any of this out of a book. I got this on my knees from God. But I can promise you this. That's how the gifts function. Where there's unity, faith, and love, let us stand. Let's love one another. Let's have faith for one another.
Hallelujah.
And let's be a blessing in unity to one another.
In the presence of my enemies, I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief.
Hallelujah.
I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody.
My weapon's a song.
A hallelujah.
Woo!
Heaven comes to fight for me.
Yeah.
I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder, You're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive. I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. With everything inside of me, I raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. I will watch the darkness flee.
Yeah. Woo!
I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery.
Oh, praise God for your breakthrough. Woo! Glory. Raise a hallelujah.
I raise a hallelujah.
Fear,
you lost your hold on me.
Glory.
Oh, fear, you lost your hold on me.
Glory.
I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise. Death is defeated.
Go on, praise him.
The King
come
is
on out
alive.
Here, you got a right to praise
I'm
him. Come on.
Gonna sing.
Come on out. Let her out. Praise
it's
God.
The middle
let her out
of
here.
The
come
storm.
On, let her out, brother.
Louder and
glory.
Louder.
Go on, praise him.
You go hear my praise.
Go on, praise him. You got a right to praise him.
Up from
1 year.
Ashes.
She's been free. One we solid year.
Alive.
Glory. Glory.
Oh,
hallelujah.
Come on,
shut that
in my
down. Glory.
I'm going to
free at last. Glory.
Louder and louder.
Come on,
you're gonna
praise
hear
him,
my praises.
Hallelujah. In the midst of the storm.
Ashes,
glory.
Hope will
glory.
Arise.
Glory.
Death is defeated.
Hallelujah. Be
the
blessed
King
in Jesus.